Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and as per usual, we're going to start the show off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, so the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So on that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
What are you at, boss? Welcome to the Max City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Norel Toyota. We support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and that's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
All right, and we're back. Big shout out to Norel Toyota, Keith, Fad, Nimmer, all the boys and girls down at Norel for sponsoring the show. We really do appreciate your support, so thank you very much. I was giggling at the beginning of this episode because Tanner made me laugh right before he pointed to me, so Tanner, that was a good one. At least it wasn't a spit take.
One of the five things.
There you go. So I'm very excited about today's guest. She's super cool. We talked to her before. Unfortunately, her episode disappeared into the multiverse. I don't know where it went to. It was a banger of an episode, and we've wanted her back ever since, so I'm glad the stars aligned. As you know, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So can you please reintroduce yourself to me and introduce yourself for the first time to the rest of the world?
Hi, everyone. It's great to be back here. Thank you for having me. My name's KG Banjoko. I'm a community advocate organizer, and I just recently graduated from law school. I've lived in Fort Mac for about 11 years, and yeah, I believe in the radical transformation of our community via our sustained actions to combat systems of oppression. And I think that we can do great things when we recenter people, recenter love, and focus on moving forward. And that's what we're here to talk
about
a
little
bit. There
we go. So my first question for you, Spread Love, is this a shirt you made or is this a brand?
This is a brand I found online on footlocker.com.
Okay, because I thought you started a clothing line.
Am I that cool?
Because I have a clothing line that people buy every once in a while. It's Max City stuff.
Fresh, very fresh.
But if that was yours, I was like, I'll go buy one right now to support you. So food for thought, maybe start a brand.
We can put it on the shop.
Yeah, we can put it on the shop for you.
Oh my gosh.
We should talk about that
after
the show.
I'm gonna remember that.
We should talk about it.
That's really cool.
We already have the shop. You could just put your stuff there and we do drop shipping.
Wow.
So, like, you can make the clothes somewhere. Like, you don't make them. You just come up with a design and then food for thought.
Wow. A seed was planted.
There you go. So, you just finished law school from a very prestigious institution. So, where did you go to law school?
I went to school at the University of Kent in Canterbury, the UK. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's a pretty well-ranked school. I'm really grateful to have gotten the chance to go there. Their law program is pretty different and set apart from others in that we study the law looking at it through a critical lens, understanding that it is already biased to favor one kind of person. It was established, you know, going through the history of it, we kind of see and we sit with that and we understand that as truth, and we look at how it impacts poor people, how poverty is kind of necessitated by legislation, and how we as lawyers can bring that into how we practice.
Right. Now, I have a friend who went to law school in Australia.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and that's another good option.
And she got a fast track. It was just like, because they just didn't take breaks, basically. But then when she came back to Canada, and she got her master's in Canada in law, but when she initially came back, she had to write all the entry exams and I don't know, maybe the bar. I don't know if that's what it's called here. But I know in the States
LSAT?
It's called the bar. Yeah, your LSATs and stuff. There you go. Is because the UK is, well, we're like a
Commonwealth
nation. Do you have to take all of that here?
If I ever decide to want to use my degree in that way, yes, right. I'll do the five exams. And then, do the LSATs and then do 2 years of articling.
Okay. So you say if, I would just assume, listen, if I got immigrant parents, if I went to law school, especially abroad, and they had to put that like kind of money down, they'd be like, what you mean? Like if my parents just heard what you just said, it's called licks when I get home. So what do you mean if you decide?
It's one of those things where our school kind of introduced the idea of you don't have to necessarily be a solicitor, barrister, or lawyer in that sense in order to utilize your degree.
Okay.
And the reason for me that I would actually want to go back, and I'm planning on doing it in the next year, is to use my services and offer that to the community. If someone needs okay. to get notarized, something like that. So they don't necessarily have to pay the cost of a regular lawyer. Right. And so that's like the big push for me to go back. But to be a lawyer who like goes to court and does those things, I'm not necessarily focused on that.
Yeah, you're not looking for those billable hours.
They'd be nice. Oh my goodness. Yeah, because where I work, we do invoices for our lawyers.
Yeah.
And looking at how much per hour they make, that's I'm right. like, I get it, Mom. I get why.
Yeah.
Maybe for a year or two, I can like do that.
So what is the game plan in the now then? You're back, you're finished. You're talking about spreading love. Mm-hmm. You're talking about like people who are maybe don't have the voice that they should have. So what's the game plan then?
The game plan. So right now, I've literally been back for maybe 7 or 8 months.
Okay.
And as soon as I came back, I was given or shown an opportunity to start working for a local First Nations, the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nations.
Okay.
And that job is really, really stimulating, really kind of part of my passion. And so, yeah, I'm grateful to have a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then because I'm back and I've been given such a like job that I love, I'm here for the long term. And while I've been away through the Black Lives Matter March and things like that, we started a group called originally Unity for Justice. Mm-hmm. We are now United for Change.
Okay.
And that is kind of one of my big, big focuses now that I'm back. Kind of launching the org, getting things started, and really, you know, giving others a platform to share messages of empowerment, to talk okay. about decolonization and what it could look like, right. and to, you know, spark conversations and things like that.
So outside of marching, because there was a march,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know.
I think
all last month was March.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Great. Zing, zing, cannon. What does this group do? How do you facilitate the conversation? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, what do you do?
So from the march, we kind of said, okay, let's sit down. We don't want this to just be a moment. We want this to be a movement.
Mm-hmm.
So we said education is probably the first way that we could touch people and start to spark that different thinking. So then we kind of launched a newsletter, started putting out different kind of articles, things that the major media wasn't covering,
right.
conflicts in, you know, the Middle East, and really looking at what does it actually mean in the geopolitical context when we have imperialism using these countries as proxy to like further their own gain. How can we make a difference in their lives while also waking us up to the fact that Canada is complicit in certain things? And we need to be aware of that. And we as citizens need to say, hey, what are you guys doing with our tax dollars? Why is it going towards these things that we don't even know?
Right.
And so got in contact with some school districts. We talked about anti-racism. I kind of shined the mirror to them and I said, this is what you say you do. You stand for people. You know, you're a Catholic school. You're a public school. You love your kids. Your kids are going through hard times and they're facing racism. It's a real lived reality for them and you need to do something about it. And they were very receptive to what I said, the Catholic school board and the public school board. Right. And we just had some frank conversations. And because of that, I believe that there have been increased, you know, visibility going on in schools, better conversations for kids.
Right.
For the past couple of years, I've been invited to speak in various ways to both staff and students to kind of have that conversation and continue the ball and push it forward. This past Black History Month, I still got some messages for some kids that really hurt me and really like showed me that like the spirit of hate is really alive in our town.
Oh, wow.
And there's real things that our kids are going to have to deal with when they're older because of the lack of action being taken by non-Black parents right now.
Right.
This is something that is real. This is something that touches my heart.
Yeah.
And it's something that we need to change. And so with the education piece of my organization, we want to have summer programming that empowers Black kids, that tells them that you are great. This is your history that you're not being taught.
Right.
And that lets white kids know that what you hear maybe from your parents is false. Mm-hmm. They're uninformed. You need to be the person saying, hey, mom, hey, dad, what you're saying is harmful. What you're saying has an impact. And so I really think that we can really reach kids who their curriculum isn't teaching the necessary things. We know that the government that's in power right now is trying to push through a curriculum that isn't backed by, I want to say, 57 out of the 61 school districts in Alberta,
which is crazy,
do not
right?
support it.
Yeah, that's my wife's insane. A teacher. She's an administrator in the Catholic district. She's a vice principal here in town.
Okay.
Now, and yeah, like it's nuts how many like educators are just like, no. And it, but still, like you said, that what did you say, 57 out of 60? Like, that's an overwhelming amount. At that point, you got to think as like a government that you're like, okay, maybe we didn't get this right.
Yeah.
But like, they're like, no, we're still going to like try to see if we can push this one through.
We'll just do two subjects this year and then let's see.
What? It's crazy to
me. And doing all this after getting rid of a whole slew of TAs, getting rid of the teachers who are able to kind of advocate for kids who need it. And it's just sad to see that we're still being taught to focus on the other things and ignore what they're doing.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, things have to change, and we can't do that if we just keep putting the same people in office that have demonstrated time and time again they don't care about you, they don't care about your children.
Right.
They only have their interests at heart.
Yeah.
And only the interests of a few select industries.
Yeah.
And that's real. And we have to sit with that. We have to see how we can move that conversation along that isn't in a way that isn't divisive, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you're not my enemy.
Yeah.
I want to work with you. I want to speak with you. I want to build with you.
Yeah.
Because what I'm doing is going to be better for everyone.
That's right.
My self-interests are aligned with what is good for the greatest number of us all.
That's right.
And I think that we all need to kind of move in a way that feels like that.
Yeah. Conversation helps that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of conversation, Tanner's great at it. He has some questions.
They're
called the Max City Minute, but big shout out to MIB, moving company here in town. They're the sponsor for this segment. They helped move to the new location. I know people are asking why things aren't up yet. Listen, we just moved in today. So they're going to learn with us. You're going to see the set evolve. But MIB, thank you for your help. They sponsored the Max City Minute. On that note, Tanner, hit it with the questions.
Alrighty, question number one. What is the oddest law you can remember learning about?
Oh, England has a lot of weird old school laws. One of them is that you can get arrested for trying to carrying a salmon suspiciously. So if you look suspicious while carrying a salmon, you can get arrested, possibly.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Question number two. What is one British food that you have tried that you wish we had here but don't?
Ooh. British aren't known for having great food, not gonna lie.
They got treats and snacks, too.
That's true. Actually, a good sausage roll, like from Greg's, oh my god, that's amazing. You can't beat that. A pound?
Okay. All right.
Question number three. What is one thing you love about Fort McMurray that you didn't get anywhere else?
Wow. That's a really good question. I honestly don't think the sense of community can ever be replicated anywhere else that I go. I think that doing like my high school years here, coming back, forming those connections, making those memories, and kind of being in the position within our community that we are, I feel like that community can never be replicated because each of you are so individual and special in your own way.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm a part of that, and that's beautiful. And that's what I love.
Question number four. What is one cartoon character you find inspirational in your life?
Okay.
I wish I could answer these questions sometimes.
Okay, number five from the kids next door is like OG. Tomboy, doing her own thing, hat down low, loved her.
Badass.
What's this from? Say it again.
Kids Code Next name, Door.
Codename Kids Next Door.
Never heard of this cartoon.
It's a Cartoon Network show from the early 2000s.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Fantastic. Worth a watch, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And your final question. What is one way you think any Fort McMurray can do to spread love?
Ooh. One thing you can do to spread love. Maybe bring something nice to your neighbor. Because I think we are all kind of always in our houses. I find it hard to connect with my neighbors. And I think, yeah, do something nice for a neighbor you don't know.
You live in Timberley, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
And those have been your five questions. Yeah.
Let's get on that topic now. This is a thing in regards to Fort McMurray has totally grown and changed since I was a child. Because I'm an old man now. So the community is different than what it used to be. Not bad, not worse, just different. It's different. And I grew up in Dickensfield. And
okay.
The census community, like, you knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, like, I moved to Beacon Hill.
Okay.
As an adult for a few years, and boy, Beacon Hill, nice. You literally, like, know everybody, for better or worse sometimes, but you know everybody. But yeah, like, the new part of Timberley, just how, like, the subdivision is built, the houses, the high fences, the garages up front, it's not the same sense of community. You have to go out of your way to, like, meet and hang out with your neighbor.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's... Yeah, it's really odd. And
it is. And it's not, it's like not just Fort McMurray, because like we'll talk about it now. So we just moved to this new studio, location not being disclosed. But our old location, we were up in Abasan. And so Abasan is still like, I knew so many of the neighbors up there because we rented a townhouse to film the show. You know where it was at. I knew more of my neighbors in Abasan than I live in the new part of Timberley myself.
Okay.
I've lived there for 8 years now. I met more of my neighbors in Abasan in the year that we rented out that townhouse than I know in Timberley in 8 years.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
Yeah, we've lived at our house for 11 years, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I know everybody on my street.
Yeah, well.
That's nice.
He's downtown, and his street is very small, but yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, it's a thing in New Timberley, and like I go out of my way to like, spend as much time outside now as possible with my little boy, like skateboarding and like playing basketball in front of the house. But you just don't have the same type of foot traffic of like your neighbors walking
doing things. Yeah.
It's weird. And I don't know why it is. I think, I can only think that it is because of how the houses are set up in regards to you don't have like a front of your house really.
Yeah,
you just have the back and the fences are so high and you just are like, you stay in your own little world.
Yeah. And, like, in my area, we do have a lawn. And it was actually, my mom is, mom's ridiculous. Yeah. So, she'll just, like, go out and ask our neighbors to do things for her.
Yeah.
And they'll do it. And I'm always like, oh, my God, no, like, come back inside. Like, it's okay. Yeah. But she's like, hi, can you help me, like, rake my lawn? Are you, you're mowing. Can you finish this up?
Yeah.
And I'm always like, she just goes out.
That's awesome.
Yes, and I'm always like surprised, and it makes me happy to know that like if they're asked, they'll help.
Yeah, most people will.
Yeah, and I feel like we just need to have that kind of confidence to be like, hey, what's up? Like, we live next door to each other. Like, how are you? What do you do? Let's find some interests.
Yeah.
I actually just found out my like street or cul-de-sac has a Facebook page.
Oh yeah.
And people
are
posting. I'm like, I didn't know this was a thing, and they want to have a block party. I'm like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know Canadians knew about block parties.
Oh, I'm choked because we were talking about in Abasan having a block party because I grew up in Abasan. I grew up in a cul-de-sac myself, and we used to have a block party every year.
Wow.
And, yeah, they don't happen as much. And now that COVID's over, I think a lot of people would be wanting to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but yeah, the different parts of town.
Very different. Yeah.
Very different. But you, if you're willing to put yourself out there, it happens. Like, I'm really friendly. I say hello to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I try. But if you're not willing to try,
yeah,
it just doesn't
happen.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So Fort McMurray's good for that. When I lived in Edmonton for a while, what blew my mind about the big city is, like, I'd get in an elevator, and somebody would be there, and I'd be like, hey, how you doing? And they'd just, like, look at me like, whatever. And then they wouldn't say hello back.
Oh.
And I was just like, what? This is crazy. Like, as Canadians, we are friendly, but, like, not as friendly as, I guess, I am or Fort McMurray is.
Yeah.
And then as I started to travel, like, especially in America, like, you go in an elevator, if you say hello, they're, like, they're not Not saying hello back in most cases. It doesn't stop me. I still, every time I go in the elevator, people are, I'm like, hey guys, how's everybody doing today?
It's true.
Once in a while, you get somebody to be like, good. And you're like, awesome.
People are like caught off guard by like happiness or just a nice greeting.
That's right. It just like throws them. But what I have learned with all my travels, because I have done a lot of traveling, is like that it makes me feel happy that society in general is nice. Mm-hmm. Like if you, just like your mom, if you ask somebody for help, more often than not, they will give it to you. Mm-hmm. But you just gotta ask.
Yeah.
It's actually like a psychological tip that if you want to get people to like you, you ask them for a small favor and then they feel rewarded by doing that and they want to be your friend more.
It's an interview tip that I coach. I do interview prep at Keanu College and I help people prepare for interviews. Mm-hmm. It's shocking that most people don't even think about doing that. But I say, like, if somebody offers you a glass of water when you go into an interview, more often than not, you're like, oh, no, I won't take your water. Or even how I was raised, my parents, like, don't inconvenience people.
Right.
Just don't. Even if you're, but I'm thirsty, Dad. You better not take that water. That's right. Drink that spit. Exactly. But when somebody offers you something, subconsciously what they're doing is they're offering you a gift. And by you saying, no, I'm good, it's like, no, I don't want your gift. Right. So subconsciously they're like, man, what's this guy's problem? They don't even think about it, but as humans, that's what's happening. So if you're out there going for a job interview and they say, hey, would you like this water? You take the water even if you don't want to drink it. Mm-hmm. You say, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah. And then they'll like you more and then your chances of getting that job go up a little bit. Just a little bit. So listen, Tanner gave me the watch tap a little while ago, so we've gone over the 20-minute mark, but that's okay. But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Hi, guys. So with United for Change, our next big thing is a mutual aid food drive, which we will be launching this Saturday, tomorrow when this is filming, but later at 1 Alberta Drive. It's called Alpha Hub, and it'll be running every 3 weeks. So the next date is April 22nd. 23rd. You can find out about us on Facebook and Instagram at unitedforchange.ymm. We hope to see you there. And like our host said, he said, if you ask for help, people are more than willing to give it. And so I'm asking for your help for McMurray. Let's make and sustain a mutual aid network in our town to help those that are food insecure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I hope you'll come back again and again. Anytime you're doing anything, that's exactly it. All right, cool. Well, listen, I'm really excited about what's about to happen. This is the first time we're using camera number 3 in the new studio. So, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world, thank you very much for tuning in. Do appreciate it. Big shout out to our sponsors, Noral Toyota, as well as MIB Moving. Thank you so much for your guys' support. We really do appreciate it. I hope everybody's having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst. Really?